We're studying on Wednesday nights this topic about making evangelism personal again, and the idea was for all of us to be here in the auditorium together because of the nature of this topic, to try to encourage all of us to be more engaged in this, more mindful of our responsibility to see souls around us. And so I hope some of the things that we've talked about have been encouraging. Perhaps some of them have been challenging for us. But the idea is to recognize that when Jesus gave the Great Commission, He gave it to all of us, not just select few, not just to those who are good at it. He gave it to everybody. And there's no getting around that. There's no saying, well, you know, I'm not really good at it, or that's not really my thing. Or, you know, I mean, when your kids started trying to make excuses when you asked them, when you told them to do something, forget the asking. When you told your kids to do something and they started making excuses, did you accept the excuses? Were you, oh, okay, you know, your feet hurt. Oh, well, you know, you can't clean that up because you messed it up yourself. I mean, when they started making excuses, did you accept them, or were you like, excuse me? You know, I mean, if we didn't accept excuses from our kids, well, you think our excuses work with God? That just doesn't seem to be, that just doesn't seem to be the thing. So whatever those obstacles are, we had a class on this, whatever those things are that are fears that we have of stepping out and talking to people, we've got to say, God, help me with those. It's what we said just a few minutes ago. If there's something that's keeping me from doing it, instead of saying, well, David's got to get over this, that's true. But David, with God's help, will get over this. God, please help me with this. Please help me not to be afraid. Please help me not to be embarrassed. Please help me not to be, fill in the blank, whatever it is. And so we've talked about the fact that we need to awaken to the prospects around us. The fact that there are lost souls all around us. And I hope in the last few weeks we've been more aware of that, just more conscious that every person that we see, the nice people we see, the not so nice people that we see, that they all have a soul. And I have the opportunity through the gospel of Jesus to make an eternal difference in their lives by just saying something to them. It is that simple. And so we talked about awakening the prospects around us. And then last week we started this subject of, after I awaken, after I open my eyes, remember what Jesus said in John chapter 4 to His disciples, behold, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields. I love that verse in John 4 and verse 35. There's three terms that have to do with your eyes. Behold, lift up your eyes and look. And what did He say? Look on the fields. Did He say, they're gonna be ready for harvest in a few months? Is that what He said? He said, don't say that. Don't say 4 months and then comes the harvest. He says, no. They're what? White, already under harvest. What does that mean? I mean, that means nothing to a kid that was raised in West Palm Beach, Florida. What does that mean? It's ready now. Don't say, well, you know, I'm just going to wait a little while. You know, what did Ananias ask Saul? This is out of context, but what did Ananias ask Saul? Why tarriest thou, right? So Jesus is saying in John 4 and verse 35, what are you waiting for? Don't say we're going to wait. Engage. So when we behold and lift up our eyes and look and see these lost souls around us, then we need to see, okay, how can I create an opportunity by which the gospel might walk through a door? Remember what Paul prayed in Colossians 4 and verse 3? He asked the church in Colossae to pray for him that a door of opportunity might be opened. Have you ever prayed that God would open a door? I'm not talking about evangelism. I'm just talking about maybe you prayed for God to open a door for you to get a new job. You ever prayed that? You ever prayed that God would open a door for you to meet somebody, to make friends? Did you ever pray that God would open a door before one of your kids? That God would help your kids to find an opportunity, whether it be in a relationship, whether it be a job. And what are we looking for? Looking to ask God, God, help me, help an opportunity to open up in front of me and help me to walk through it. That's what creating opportunities. This isn't talking about teaching them. That's next week, okay? This isn't talking about that I'm teaching the gospel like the Great Commission says. This is just preparing the soil. We talked about that last week a little bit. That before you can plant a seed, you've got to prepare the soil, usually, right? You've got to get the soil ready for that seed so that when the seed comes, it's going to flourish. And so that's what we're talking about here. How can I prepare the soil? Could it be that maybe I create an opportunity and somebody else walks through that door? Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3? I planted, and then what happened? Apollos watered. Oh, Paul did the initial work, and then Apollos comes along and he gets the credit, right? No, who gets the credit? The rest of the verse, God gave the increase. But what were Paul and Apollos doing? They were tag teaming. They didn't know it, but they were tag teaming. One was laying the groundwork. Another was coming along and building on that foundation and watering that. So maybe it is that we create an opportunity. Maybe it is that we open a door and we don't get to walk through it with the gospel, but somebody else does. Is that okay? Do I have to be the one that gets the credit? It's not about who gets the credit. It's about souls meeting Jesus and having their sins washed away in his blood. So I forgot. I've got handouts. I should have had guys passing these out already. Can I get a gaggle of men? Is that the right word? Can I get a host of men? Can I get a flock of men? What's the right word here? Can I get a group of men? What, Richard? What'd you say? A pride of men? Oh, is that a good word? An elder said it. It must be a good word. Oh, you said tribe. I thought you said pride.
The lions.
I can't hear you, so you can keep going. Okay, I should have had these already coming around, and I forgot we had them. So, tonight you're getting, I don't remember how many pages, 3 or 4. So, last week we talked about, Bob, can you flip over and make the screen active? Or is it the remote that's not working? There we go. All right. So last week we talked about, let me back up. We talked about just our daily living, that through holy living, it helps to create opportunities just by the way we live. But then we started talking about some deliberate interactions that we can take. And we're not limited by the things we're going to talk about tonight. This isn't an exhaustive list that says this is all that matters. These are just ideas to get your mind thinking. By the way, you're getting page 13 again. All right, you got page 13 last week, but you only got half of it. I'm giving you the rest of the page 13, so don't flip out that you've got two page 13s. It's a lucky number, and now you have two of them. So what we're talking about tonight is not an exhaustive discussion. It's just to get your mind thinking about simple things. These are things that all of us, any of us, can do. And so last week we talked about what are some things that I can give to somebody. And we've got the table out in the lobby again tonight with the business card, the little invitation. I love that little invitation card. I hope you're using that you can write your name on the back. It's got the QR code for the website on the front. So easy to use. It just says you're invited. And people like to be invited. Even the lady who makes your sub, your pub sub, she likes to be invited. At least she smiled when I invited. So I guess she'd like to be invited. But it's easy to use. You are invited. You're scaring me, sneaking up on me like that. You need more? Take a full stack. I have more. He was like hunched over, like I was not going to see him or something. What were we talking about? That little card. So just giving things to people. Remember we talked about story last week about members of this congregation who are members of this congregation because somebody gave them an invitation card to one of our events here. You never know the impact that it's going to have. So look at the materials, and we're not limited by those things that are out there. There's tracks on that table. By the way, the track rack that we've had out in the lobby for the last 26 years is being refreshed on a monthly basis. So there are new tracks going into that track rack on a monthly basis. There's a little section there that has children's tracks. There's a little section there that has tracks that have something to do with our monthly theme for each month. And so make sure you're checking that out, because every month it's being refreshed. And if you don't see something out there that triggers you, there's a word, if you don't see something out there that's, then I hope you know that this little door, that door, not this door, that's a big door. You don't want that one. But this little door over here, that's our track rooms in there. We've got hundreds of tracks in there. That if you're looking for some Bible subject, there's probably a track on it in there. And so go in there. There's a binder in there. It's categorized. It's in there by category. If you need help, let somebody know. Or maybe you go to a place like Apologetics Press. I hope you know the Apologetics Press website. I hope you're there a lot, because it's just a wealth of material. And most of it is free. But Apologetics Press has tracks that you can look at their tracks. And I would encourage you, maybe find a track that you make yours. That this is the one I want to pass out to people. There was a member of this church that several years ago, they bought their own stack, their own packet of tracks. They had like hundreds of the same title. But they said, I like that track. It works for me. So they ordered a couple hundred of them, and that's what they would give out to people. Go to the housetohouse.com website and go to their store menu. And a lot of the tracks that we get, that's where they're from. And find one that works for you, or go in the track room and get tracks from there that you can take and use. Because, all we're trying to talk about with this is to say, okay, how can we open doors? How can we create an interest with people? So that's just the rehearsing again some things that we talked about last week, some things that we can give. I believe in the printed page. I believe in the physical objects you can give somebody. Now, that's rehearsing last week. Number two on this page, there are some things that you can send. I know that we live in the electronic, digital, internet age, and so there are people that get offended by this list of giving, because they're like, you're wasting stuff. You should be just sending emails. It should all be electronic. Okay, you have your right to your opinion, and you know that's good. But so here's the electronic. Again, this is not exhaustive. This list could be obviously expanded. But what if you send a text, an email? Just send a message to somebody with a link to our website and just said, hey, you know what? This is where I go to church. I'd share our website with you. It's pretty good. It's loaded with good material. Let me know if you have any questions. You're sending them a link. What if you heard randomly out of the blue a decent sermon and you thought, you know what? That would have been good for so-and-so, or at least maybe this little section over here. You know, they don't have to listen to the whole 7-hour sermon, but maybe just this little section over here, and you send them a link to that section, and it just says, I just thought this was interesting, and I wanted to share it with you. Again, you're just finding things that are easy to send to somebody else. What about an article? We've got, you know, it almost makes me a little uncomfortable to brag about our website, but then it doesn't make me uncomfortable to brag about our website. I believe that we've got one of the best websites on earth. Now, I'm biased, yes, but I'm not biased. If you can be both, I'm both. I believe we've got one of the best websites in the world because of the content that is there. We have thousands of Bible articles. We have thousands of videos on there. And I mention that to you because I go other places, Dan goes other places where another congregation's in speaking, and people come up to us and they say, thank you for your website. I'm on it all the time. When I was in Kentucky this last week, two people, I'm not asking people to, what do you think of our, they just come up. Thank you for your website. I'm on it all the time. And so if other people are on it all the time, well, what about us? So, and it's not just our website. What about Christian Courier? How often are you there? Apologetics Press, the house, housetohouse.com. Boy, it's just full of good stuff. And in fact, several of these, Apologetics Press, I mentioned their tracts. You can buy their tracts, or you can just find, their tracts are available for free on their website. They've got like 30 books, 30 of their books free, PDF version on their website. So easy stuff just to go and you see something that, I like this, or maybe you were in a conversation with somebody before and say, you know what, I found this, it's kind of talking about what we were talking about the other day, I just thought I'd share it with you. What are you doing? You're tilling the soil. You're trying to create an opportunity where you can come and have an opportunity to teach somebody the gospel. What about, maybe not a sermon, but just a video? I don't know how many of you have watched some of the videos like Apologetics Press has. Housetohouse.com, House to House has got some videos the ones that AP is putting out, many of them are pretty short, but go to the AP website sometime, and up at the top, there's a little menu on videos. Just click on that and then come down to where it says all videos and just go and see the abundance of stuff that they've got that you can send out to somebody and say, hey, this is short. Just take a look at this. We mentioned last week about giving out. I know this is old tech, but some people still use it. We talked last week about giving, again, the idea of giving, the DVD, the Searching for Truth DVD, that we've got them out there in the lobby all the time for you to take and use. But do you know that those are just there on the web? That instead of the DVD, just send them a link to the Searching for Truth .org website, and they can watch each of those videos right there. So what I'm trying to give you is just a variety of things, not only that we can physically give to somebody, but here, that we take an email, we take a text message, that we just share something, send something to somebody. What about just a Bible verse? I know some of you already do this. But what about just, it doesn't have to be a daily Bible verse, just an occasional Bible verse that we send to somebody and say, you know what, this verse means a lot to me. I hope it'll brighten your day. Are you preaching the gospel to them in that? Well, not really, but what are you doing? You're just trying to prepare an opportunity so that maybe one day you can talk to them about having a Bible study and it won't surprise their socks off that you're talking about the Bible to them. You've already prepared their heart that's where your heart is. Maybe you send them just a short note that has some information in it about why it's important to you to be a Christian. Maybe you send to them, maybe your notes that you've taken on a particular topic. Maybe you were in a discussion with somebody about baptism. You're in a discussion with somebody about worships, about the church, about the second coming of Jesus, about whatever. And maybe you just sit down and you write out just a half page of information with some verses. Hey, you know what? We talked about this the other day. I just wanted to share this with you. What are you doing? You're just allowing this to continue to kind of permeate in their heart that these are important things to you. Last couple here, we talked about Bible correspondence courses last week. We talked about Jeffrey Dahmer and the fact that Phil Sanders' uncle, as well as another lady from Virginia, both mailed a Bible correspondence course to Jeffrey Dahmer when he was in prison. Go figure. Who would have ever thought to do that? We've got, I don't know how many, we've got probably a couple hundred people enrolled in Bible correspondence courses that mail their courses here. They are graded, and we send them back. And I know you're thinking, are you serious? People still use snail mail to do Bible correspondence courses? By the hundreds, okay? And you're saying, well, why are they doing that? Because they're doing it. Why are we going to discourage people from doing something to learn the Bible? So, hey, if they still want to learn the Bible by snail mail, guess what we're going to do? We're We're going to help them do that. So if you've got somebody that you want to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, then give their address to us, and we will get them enrolled in a Bible correspondence course. But here's this last thing on the top of page, what is this, page 14? I want you to understand, everything that we're talking about here, maybe everything, I haven't thought through everything, probably everything on these, you could probably do all of these things by posting it on your social media page. You could probably do all of these same things just by a worldwide post. And if you want to do that, great, and you should. But what we're talking about here is one-on-one. Is there a difference in fishing when you throw out a net and when you throw out a hook? Is there a difference? When you throw out a net, what are you going to get? We're going to get whatever we can get in this net. When you throw out a hook, it's got a particular kind of bait, and you're in a particular part of the water, and you put it down at a particular depth. What are you doing? You're looking for a particular catch. That's what we're talking about, the one-on-one interaction. Now, go ahead and post to the world, because you need that too. What did the sower do? He was sowing on all kinds of soil. But what we're trying to do here is talk about, how do I make it personal? And the personal is the one-on-one kind of stuff. So, all right, I've done all the talking here. What else do you like to send? What other ideas? We're just talking about sending night right now. We've got other things on our list. Anything else you like to send that you think has been effective? Any other ideas? Okay, I gave you a chance to talk. Y'all got to jump in. All right, this is not, this. My fill in the blanks are short blanks. All right, all right, Allison.
Apologetics Press.
Yeah.
You can go online and sign up for the Monday email.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. When you go to apologeticspress.org, you can sign up for their Monday updates. I hope all of you do that. I hope all of you have got their emails coming in every Monday. And, and maybe that's something that when you get that email, you can forward that email to somebody and say, hey, I just got this update, this weekly update from AP, from Apologetics Press, and, look at what they've got. And they always have four or five things that are listed on their Monday morning update. So maybe that's an avenue by which you do it. And do you know Apologetics Press has kid videos too, not just adult videos, just FYI. Get on there and catch some stuff for your kids. So things we can give, tangible things we can send. And all this is just trying to create. How can I generate interest? How can I get somebody to the point where I can come to them and talk to them and say, hey, can we sit down and have a Bible study? Number three, what is this, page 14? Things to which you can invite. And this is obvious, okay, I realize that. This number one is like, to me, the easiest thing in the world. At least it's the easiest thing for me to do. It's not about you. It's just like, hey, we've got this thing going on at church. I got this card. Just wanted to invite you to come. And it takes you 5 seconds to do it, just to invite them to come to worship. And when they come here, they meet other nice, friendly Christians. And they're like, wow, these people are real. They engage in New Testament worship. And they experience the beauty of worshiping like the church did in the New Testament. And perhaps that's different than what they've known before, but they say, okay, this is how this church worships, and this is how the church worshiped back in the New Testament. And they hear the gospel proclaimed, and it's an easy way to perhaps, so just inviting them to worship, inviting them to Wednesday night class. Maybe that you meet somebody during the week. Hey, we've got Bible class on Wednesday night. Why don't you meet me down there? Inviting their children. You see a family that's got kids, say, hey, we've got a really good Bible class program. For our little kids, we call it Stepping Into the Bible, and we've got just some great teachers that are teaching. Why don't you bring your kids to Bible class? And encourage them through that avenue to bring their kids and then to come themselves, inviting them to some church event. When we have a lectureship, when we have a corn roast, we have a gospel meeting, we have a cookout, we have a picnic of some kind, just inviting them to come to some event that the church is having, or just asking them to come over and hang out with you, have some coffee with you, come over and have dinner with you. Remember what we said last week? People need to see that you're a real Christian. That what they see at work, what they see in the neighborhood, you're real about your Christian, but you're a real person too. You're not a plastic fake person. That you're a real person, genuine. You have mistakes, you got flaws too, but you're serious about being a Christian. And if they can just be around you, you know, you don't have to have coffee and sit there and have Bible study with them. You can just have coffee and sit there and talk sports with them or talk whatever you want. But they get to know you and they get to know your heart. So that when you say, hey, how about you come to worship? How about you come to church with me on Sunday? It's not an out of the blue question. So when we invite people, bottom of this page, when we invite people, hopefully they come. Hopefully they come. I got a text from one of our members today that said, there's going to be a visitor there on Sunday. And this member sent me a little information about the visitor, sent me a picture of the visitor, said, be on the lookout. This person said they were going to be there on Sunday. How important are our visitors? How important are they? Some of you are visitors here tonight, and so you're kind of hearing us talk about you. It's kind of weird. How important are our visitors? When we say that you are our honored guests, and we say we mean it, well, we do mean it. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What happens when the world comes to you? Is that different? I mean, Johnny likes fishing, but, you know, he probably wouldn't mind if, you know, he just opened the door one day and Islay was there and said, hey, I already did the fishing for you. Here's all your fish. It's taken care of. Have a good day. I'd be like, hey, it's already here. It is, when people are coming here, we need to do our very best to truly make them feel like they are welcome here, that they're wanted here, that they can be a part of this church just with all the rest of us flawed people. That none of us have got it all together. None of us have figured everything out. And so I know our tendency when we're here is to talk to each other. Talk to, you know, whoever's sitting next to us, catching up with each other. And that's, we need to do that. I love our 30-minute members. We had an article about this a few months ago. I love our 30-minute members. Who's that, you say? There are members who get here 30 minutes early. Some of you are like, 30 minutes early? Oh, wow. Never mind, I won't talk about it. But so you look at some people and say, but there's some members who get here 30 minutes. You know why they get here 30 minutes early? Because they just like sitting around talking to each other. And so they sit around and talk to each other for half. And then there's those members who are here 30 minutes after services are open. And some of you look at those people and are like, are you crazy? When that bell rings, get out of here. We're all looking at our watch. We're like, David, shut up so we can leave. Can you believe there's people who stay and the people locking up the building have to turn the lights off and say, it's midnight, I need to go home? That they stay that long. Why? Just to stand around and talk to each other. So it's awesome that we get to be here and to talk with each other and catch up with each other. But can I challenge you? Can I challenge you not to lose sight of and be blind to those guests who are here? They need to take priority. If you had folks over to your house and there was a guest there, would you recognize? You recognize your family when they're in the house, right? Most of the time, of course, some of you got big families. You don't know half the people in your family, but if you've got a guest in your home, you're like, wait a minute, you don't belong here. You're different. You know, I haven't seen you around here before. And so you go out of your way to check with that person. Hey, can I get something for you? Would you like something to drink? If somebody's a guest here, they're a guest in our home. We need to treat them with the greatest honor that we need to go out of our way to make them feel welcome. I have heard, and you probably have too, I have heard both extremes over the years. I have heard what we want to hear. Palm Beach Lakes is the friendliest church in the world. I go there and they're just so friendly to talk to me. I've heard the other extreme too. I've heard the other extreme about people who come here and they say, I walked in, I walked out, not a person talked to me. Now, truth usually lies somewhere in the middle of the extremes, right? But if somebody comes in here ever and we don't make them feel welcome and wanted here, shame on us. Now, some people test us in that because they'll come in 3 minutes after services start and they leave 5 minutes before services end. So they're testing us in our ability to make them feel welcome. But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the people that we know better. When we ask, we say this occasionally, when we ask folks to fill out attendance cards, and I wish every member was here tonight to hear this. When we ask folks to fill out attendance cards, I know some of you are the advanced students, and you get these done in advance. You're going to get extra credit, I think is what you're thinking. I'm going to get extra credit because I'm turning it in early. Can you please not fill these out until everybody is asked to do them? I know that sounds weird. I know it, because you know what, you know, I know I've got to do it, so I'm just going to get it done ahead of time. There's something about everybody being asked to do it and you reaching for one and the other person on the pew reaching for one, and then it's just, but if the guest is the only one reach, I've been probably 75 or more percent of the congregations I go to, the guests are the only one filling out the card. So guess what I don't do? I don't fill out a card. You didn't persuade me enough to do it, so not going to happen. But if I'm making that up, I'm being more harsh. But if one person on the pew is reaching for it and another person on the pew is reaching for it, then it's a little more, oh, okay, I'll do it too. And if they don't reach for it, you can say, oh, I got two. Here's one for you. And pass it over to them. I am pleasantly amazed. And some of you are guests here tonight, and I hate to be talking about guests here tonight when you're here. I am pleasantly amazed how many folks give us their information on these cards. You don't do it. You go to websites and you fill it in with fake information because you don't want to give them your real information, right? I'm amazed how many people give us their information. If you'll wait to fill out your card when you're asked, perhaps they'll be more inclined to grab that card too and fill it out. Now, why do we want that? If you're a member here, every Monday you get an email. You get an email from Cindy every Monday that has a listing of the guests that we had the day before. At least the ones that gave us their name and their address. When you get that email, don't delete it. When you get that email, don't say, oh, well, I don't have time for that now. That list of names is the greatest wealth of souls that we have. Because these are individuals who have come here and shown an interest. And what do we need to do? Something simple. Sometimes there's an email. Can you believe people give us their email addresses? I love it. Sometimes there's an email address. You know how easy it is to click subject. Thank you for coming on Sunday. I'm so glad that you came. I hope you'll come back. And in 3 or 4 sentences, you're done. You know what's better than that? A handwritten, hand-addressed card. You know what would happen if a guest got 10 of those in the week after they came? You know what would happen if they got 20 of those the week after they came? Wow. this church was glad that I was there. I think I'll go back. There's more that we could talk about here. But let's make our guests feel welcome. Let's fill out our cards. When our guests are filling out our cards, let's follow up with them. Let's encourage them. Let's make friends with them. Let's meet them and say, hey, you know what? Jimmy and I are going to lunch today. Jimmy's buying for all of us. And so, hey, you want to go to lunch today? Jimmy's looking at me like, man, don't do that to me. But if you're going somewhere for lunch on Sunday, hey, you know what? You want to go to lunch with us? And if you get there, buy their lunch. I mean, I don't know, buy their lunch or don't buy their lunch. But I'd encourage you to buy it. Just don't sit there and talk about how horrible and how long the sermon was. Sit there and talk about real life things so that they can get to know you and say, you know what? This is a nice person. This is a nice church who rings bells way too early. All right. Quick. I love you, David Brown. All right. So, real quick. And again, this is not exhaustive. And you think some of these are silly, and some of them are, but it's just to get us thinking, okay? Some things I can give, some things I can send, some things I can invite, some things I can tell. How many do I have on this list? Do I have 10 on this list? I can't remember. I must not. 7, 8. All right, there's 8. So some things I can tell. You go to work on Monday. You go to school on Monday. You're walking your dog out in the neighborhood on Monday, and you pass the other dog walkers out there, and you're dropping your little bags of trinkets over in the can that they have there in the neighborhood. Hey, you know, good morning. Do you notice how often we say good morning to people? You know, you go to the store and everybody's good morning. Why don't we say good afternoon? Why don't we say good evening? You know, everybody's happy in the morning. You know, I go to Publix in the morning. Good morning, good morning. But if I go there on my way home tonight, have you noticed that? That's kind of weird. Anyway, but when you're walking your dog, I mean, whatever the situation might be, just throw something out at somebody. Hey, how you doing? Man, yesterday was a great day. You know, we had a great day at church, and it's just made my week so much better. And that's, just drop something. Don't stand there and have a Bible study with them, but just drop some line about something positive that's going on. You know, if you've been engaged in conversations with somebody and they've confided in you, hey, I've been praying for you. You know how encouraging it is to hear somebody say that they prayed for you? And just that line. Not don't make it weird in all of these. Don't make it weird. You can make some things weird here and make people uncomfortable. Just make it natural. This is just who I am. You know, this is why I love my church. This is why I love being a Christian. But just find some things that you can, again, it's just a one-liner, a two-liner. It's an easy things that you can just drop in conversations that you can tell. Some things that you can ask. I skipped. I don't have any blanks on the ask, do I? I don't think I do because I knew we wouldn't have time. But just find some things you can ask. Again, don't make these weird, all right? You can really make some people uncomfortable by asking them questions. But just, you know, some things that you can ask people that they don't necessarily, they could be maybe a rhetorical question, or maybe it's a real question that you ask them. Maybe it's a question like, hey, you know what? Is there anything that I can pray for you? You know, I've got a prayer list. Is there anything that I can be praying for you? You know, have you ever heard about the Church of Christ? Could I tell you about the church sometime? You know, just an easy conversation. Just find some things you can tell them. Find some things that you can just ask them in normal conversation, and then just be natural. The last page, what page is this? 13, 14, 15, 16? Is this page 16? Just some natural things that you can do just by living the Christian life, showing genuine interest in people, showing genuine interest in their children. Not creepy interest, genuine interest in their children. Helping people in time of need. If you see a moving truck, you know, in your neighborhood, don't be thinking, boy, I'm so glad that's not me. I hate moving. You know, go over and say, hey, can I give you a hand? Visiting people when they're in the hospital. Comforting the bereaved through visitation and preparing meals. You know, some people think that's weird. Have you ever Have you ever had a coworker or a neighbor, somebody who had surgery or a death in the family, and you took food to them? Tracy did that for one of her coworkers one time, and he was like, "Why'd you do that?" She took casserole or took something over, and why'd you do that? Because that's what we do. You know, that's what the church does. You know, when stuff's going on, we just take food. And we're like, "Well, I could have ordered food." "Well, yeah, you could have ordered food." Yep. But what is that? That's just a nice gesture that says, you know what, we're concerned about you. And we are genuine Christians, not just trying to throw stuff in your face. We care about you. Number 7, speak out about things that you're uncomfortable with. Talk openly about your faith in front of people. You know, be a real Christian. Do Christian things for people who are around you. I know we've kind of flown through some of those. Anything that you would add to any of these lists? We're trying to create opportunities. Next week, we're talking about teaching. This week is, how do I get those opportunities to teach? How can I open the door? Anything else that you think works well to open doors? Dan?
True story. I went to a congregation, had 500 members. I walked in, there were people in the foyer, not a person spoke to me. The ushers didn't speak to me. If there were assigned greeters, they didn't speak to me. Sat in Bible class, you know, it's a good Bible class. And between Bible class and worship, the man in front just turned around, made a real impression on me about, "Well, this is a friendly church." I said, "How long have you been a member of this church?" He says, "We're visitors." True story.
I don't know if I want to ask this question. How many of you have been to another congregation and you walked in, walked out, and nobody talked to you? Yes. Anybody? Oh, man, that's sad. We've done it, and we can do better than that, even if we're visitors somewhere, right, Dan? And encouraging them. So thank you all for being here.